This interview was produced for Red Eye, a 3-hour current affairs program on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
UNICEF is a United Nations agency with special responsibility for the well-being of the world's children. UNICEF describes itself as the driving force that helps build a world where the rights of every child are realized. So one would reasonably expect, therefore, that the executive director of this agency would have a record of commitment to this objective. And so when UN Secretary General Kofi Annan announced the name of the new UNICEF executive director, that was the expectation, but the announcement was received with outrage by many. And one of the outraged voices came from the People's Health Movement. To discuss the new director of UNICEF, we've contacted a member of the People's Health Movement, Todd Jaylor. He's on the phone from his home in Berkeley, California. Good morning, Todd, and welcome to Vancouver Cooperative Radio.
Thank you.
Could you sketch just a little bit the history of UNICEF for us to get the background of the agency?
Well, UNICEF is about 60 years old. It was founded to, as you put quite accurately in your introduction, take care of the world's children, to make a better world for kids to live in. Currently, their programs have a lot to do with ensuring that girls get education. They do a lot around making sure that children have positive environments to grow up in. They work on immunization campaigns, on HIV, AIDS, dealing both with prevention and transmission, as well as the increasing number of HIV orphans in the world. And they work a lot in countries in various kinds of crises to try and mitigate the effects of that on children.
I understand that there's been a sort of debate within UNICEF as to whether they're to be advocates for the rights of children to education, health, food, potable water, or simply just to improve some of the situations that children in large numbers and the millions and billions find themselves in.
Yeah, I think that across the spectrum of UN organizations and the kind of non-governmental organization movements that have happened in the world over the past couple decades, you'll find that there is this movement towards realizing that people have rights, that we have rights, and that in this case, children have rights as well. The United Nations passed, or at least 189 governments of the world, ratified the UN Convention on the Rights of Children. The only governments who, in fact, haven't ratified that are my own government, that of the United States, and Somalia. And basically, the notion is that you can work in cases of disaster or crises to improve a lot of people or of kids in this case, but it's a band-aid approach. It solves an immediate problem, and it's necessary to do, but it doesn't deal with the long-term issues that are facing children that have to do with poverty, that have to do with malnutrition, that have to do with the illness that comes with no access to clean water. And the best way to do that is to recognize that children have rights to that. They also have rights not to be swept up into wars or recruited as child soldiers, as is the case in many countries in many conflicts that are going on around the world. And if you want to look at the United States, we begin targeting youth for recruitment through ROTC and other kinds of ad campaigns, basically as early as 8 years old. I mean, it's ridiculous. All this stuff would be basically made illegal if the Rights of the Child Convention were adopted in the U.S. And throughout the world. And I think that's one of the reasons why it hasn't been. So this kind of rights-based approach is anathema to the corporate world. They hate to see that there's any sort of rights that anyone has other than the right to make money and the right to increase trade.
Now, the new executive director for UNICEF was appointed, but I'm not familiar with that process. How do they appoint a director of UNICEF, this United Nations agency?
Right. Like many UN agencies, there's sort of a gentleman's agreement, although it's, like most gentlemen's agreement, pretty ungentlemanly. The United States is sort of allowed by tradition to choose the head of UNICEF. And in this case, Bush chose Ann Veneman, the former Secretary of Agriculture of the United States, with absolutely no background at all in children's health, children's rights, or child welfare, to be the head of UNICEF, so that her appointment was announced by Kofi Annan, and within a week, it was approved by the Executive Committee of UNICEF, the Executive Board of UNICEF. And she starts her new job at the beginning of next month.
That's amazing, isn't it? The one country, major country in the world that didn't adopt the Declaration on the Rights of Children, which is the mandate of UNICEF, gets to appoint the executive director. But let's deal with her. You say she has no background in this. What background does Ann Veneman have?
Ann Veneman is a corporate lawyer for agribusiness. She was... originally, she was one of the one of the directors of the California Department of Agriculture. She worked in the U.S. Department of Agriculture service in various capacities. She helped negotiate the North American Fair Trade Agreement, which you all suffer under, as well as people in Mexico. Her out of government office, she's been a corporate lawyer, and she's represented those same agribusiness firms, both directly through her law firm and on the council of some trade, you know, associations. So basically, her experience with children and children's rights is nil, and her appointment, I think, is of a piece with the other appointments that the Bush administration is making right now, that with, like, John Bolton to be the U.N. ambassador for the U.S. And it's the point of which is all just to impose U.S. policy and U.S. will on the world and make the world safe for U.S. corporations. And it's a shame that she's being allowed to do this with UNICEF.
Now, UNICEF, as you've said very clearly, its mandate is children, and we usually hear responses to appointments because they're rather abstract kinds of things coming from adults. Are you aware of any children's responses to the appointment of Ann Veneman?
In fact, there are some. The People's Health Movement has tried to involve children, given that they're supposed to be represented by Ms. Veneman in some discussion around this, so that, for example, in Chicago, a group of teens got together to talk about what UNICEF was, how it operates, and what they did is they pretended that they were on the nominating committee and the interview committee for choosing the next Secretary General, or the Secretary of UNICEF, Executive Director of UNICEF. They talked about what kind of person they thought should be appointed. They talked about what they thought he or she should do. And then they read about Ann Veneman and her background, and they thought that it was outrageous that somebody who clearly had no qualifications at all in this area was chosen to head UNICEF and to represent them in the world and their interests. So they've started a paper petition drive among their peer group, and from what we understand, similar sorts of activities happening in India, in Ecuador. We heard just the other day that someone in the Gambia is beginning to do the same sort of thing. And perhaps with all the response that we've been getting to the petition on the web, people in Canada and in Vancouver would like to do something like that as well.
There are a number of large non-government, called NGOs, non-government organizations, that seem hesitant to openly criticize the new appointment of Ann Veneman to executive director of UNICEF.
Yeah, I'm afraid that seems to be true. In working to get this letter of concern by the People's Health Movement out, I spoke with some 40 people around the world, And they were hesitant to criticize her, fearing that they would basically lose their access. I think that's very common with NGOs who basically are able to fundraise and carry out the important programs that they do carry out because they do have this access. In this case, however, I think that it's quite mistaken. And with most of Bush's appointments, I think it's just a wrong strategy because these folks are not interested in working with non-governmental organizations or with anyone who disagrees with them. So I think it's a little bit naive, and a little bit later on, they'll still be waiting for the train to come in the station, and there'll be no more trains.
What makes the People's Health Movement different from these other NGOs in terms of your very open and critical response to this appointment as being definitely against the interest of children?
We're sort of a loose grouping or a network, so to speak, of organizations around the world. I mean, it was founded in the year 2000, and we've been able to have a strong voice in different areas of interest, both within the World Health Organization and organizations that do work around health. So we don't have programs per se or funding per se that we have to worry about, not anything that we feel that we have to protect. I think it does allow us to pay attention more to the people's movements around the world.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Todd Jailer of the People's Health Movement. To read their statement on Ann Veneman, the new executive director of UNICEF, you can check out the following website. It's saveunicef.org. And there's a contact in Canada for the People's Health Movement as well. She is Maija Agus, maija.aggis@simpatico.ca.
Red Eye is produced by an independent media collective and airs on Vancouver Cooperative Radio. You can hear the program from 9 until noon Pacific Time, streaming live at cooperadio.org.